Yes, my dear devotees, I'm really excited to give this lecture. I will continue my little seminar, which I started in Germany during the celebrations concerning Janmashtami and Vyasa Puja. It's on a very deep subject matter, that is establishing a firm relationship with Krishna, how it's called. I will give you a little summary where we are so that it's easy for you to really get into it. Fine. It's a little, you know, there's one thing here, then there's glasses there, then there is a microphone here, then there's a fourth microphone there. It's a little bit much for a simple man. So I have to just orient myself here. Plus I'm unfortunately a little tired, so you know how it is when you need to just... Good. I think I am all right now. Jaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihare.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Jaya Prabhupada Jila Prabhupada Jaya Jaya Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Sira Jaya Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Sira Jaya Shri Radha Gopinatha ki jai. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Good. So I will just set up my notes. 1 second, please. Can someone please help me? Oops. The Bhagavatam verse is 10, just that I have. Is it 10, 9, 20? Yeah. Yes. Neman, good. Neman, then we have this. You know, when you give so many different lectures, sometimes now with the internet, I'm four, three lectures a day, and then you see, okay, where are we? What is the program here? So this is the Bhagavatam lecture, and it's not Bhakti Essential, nor is it Bhakti School, nor is it A Life in Bhakti, nor is it the Heart of the Ma Mantra, and all these other courses which are going on at the same time. So let me get the right page. It could be that all of a sudden I start to talk to you as if you are completely new people who have never heard about Bhakti, and then you would think, what is Maharaj saying? So we want to avoid this. Therefore, good preparation. I mean, good organizing your material is extremely important. Shri Radha Gopinatha ki jai. Good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shriya Pyanga Samshraya
samsara
asadam libire gopi
asadam libire gopi
yattat prapa vimuktida nemam virincho na bhavo Shriyar Apyanga Sangshaya
Shriyar Apyanga Sangshaya
Asadam Libire Gopi
Asadam Libire Gopi
Yattat Prapa Vimuktida
Yattat Prapa Vimuktida
Yes, please. Nemam virincho na bhavo Vaishnavis, please. This exalted position, Virinchaha, Lord Brahma, Na, Nor, Bhavaha, Lord Shiva, Na, Nor, Shri, Goddess of Fortune, Api, indeed. Angasangshaya. Although she's always the better half of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although she's always the better half of the Pasadam. Mercy. Libhide. Obtained. Gopi. Mother Yashoda. Yattat is that which prapa obtained vimuktida from Krishna who gives deliverance from this material world. Krishna who gives deliverance from this material world. Yes. Translation. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the Goddess of Fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. Purport. This is a comparative study between Mother Yashoda and other devotees of the Lord, as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasava Vritya. The only Supreme Master is Krishna, and all others are His servants. Krishna has the transcendental quality of Vritya Vashata, becoming subordinate to his pritya, or servant. Now, although everyone is pritya, and although Krishna has the quality of becoming subordinate to his pritya, the position of Mother Yashoda is the greatest. Lord Brahma is pritya, a servant of Krishna, and he's Adi Kavi, the original creator of this universe. Nonetheless, even he could not obtain such mercy as Mother Yashoda. As for Lord Shiva, he is the topmost Vaishnava. What to speak of Lord. Brahma and Lord Shiva, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is the Lord's constant companion and service, since she always associates with his body. But even she could not get such mercy. You know, Lakshmi is always massaging the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore really close. She does Anga Seva, serving the limbs of the body of the Lord. But Mother Yashoda, service and position is amazing. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was surprised. He was thinking, what did Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj do in their previous lives by which they got such a great opportunity? The opportunity to be the affectionate father and mother of Krishna. In this verse, there are three negative pronouncements. Na, na, na. When anything is uttered three times, do it, do it, do it, one should understand that this is meant to indicate great stress on effect. In this verse, we find na lebire, na lebire, na lebire. Na lebire means, let's just check this. Obtained, no one, not obtained, not obtained, not obtained, three times. Yet Mother Yashoda is in the supermost exalted position. And thus Krishna has become completely subordinate to her. The word Vimukti Dad is also significant. There are different types of liberation, such as Sajujya, Salokya, Sarupya, Shashti, and Samipya. But Vimukti means special mukti. When after liberation one is situated on the platform of Prema Bhakti, one is said to have achieved Vimukti, special, special, super mukti. Therefore the word Na is mentioned. That exalted platform of Prema is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Prema Pumato Mahan. And Mother Yashoda naturally acts in such an exalted position in loving affairs. She is therefore a Nitya Siddha devotee, an expansion of Krishna's Kshalini potency. His potency to enjoy transcendental bliss through expansions who are special devotees. She is therefore a Nitya Siddha devotee, an expansion of Krishna's Kshalini potency, his potency to enjoy transcendental bliss through expansions who are special devotees. Such devotees are not Sadhana Siddha. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Acharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Ankatyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. First of all, I wanted to say how much I'm appreciating to be amongst all of you. I think we all grew up together. We know each other since many, many years because we are neighbors. My preaching place is Germany and the whole world, as it has turned out. I'm based in Germany, so I've come yearly, I think, 2 times to Radhadesh, and I've begun to appreciate the residency in Radhadesh very much. We live together, we share the same breath together, we share similar experiences together. So it is very nice to come and visit you at this particular time where changes are there in the outside world, and also we need to respond to them in our temple community. So it's very nice. It is a great privilege, and it's so much nicer to speak to people you can see, even if you can only see half of their faces. they're not seeing them at all, because when you only look into these metallic eyes of the cameras, then it is one thing, but this is much better. Good. So here we hear about Mother Yashoda, and just because we are a few days after Jamashtami, I think I don't continue here with my lecture series. I will just talk about Mother Yashoda's fortune. She is singled out as the single most dear devotee of Krishna because of her very intimate relationship with Krishna. Krishna would not even pass water without his mother's permission. He would say, "Water, water, mother, urine, 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 mother." Then Mother Yashoda said, "Who's keeping you? You go." And then only he was able to go. And it's very tight, very tight. Once there was a loving crisis, you remember, it is described by Shukadev Goswami in the Bhagavatam, how Mother Yashoda had heard about Krishna having eaten mud. So Mother Yashoda called him, and she felt highly disturbed. If the child eats mud, which is not good for human consumption, this will maybe create an upset stomach. She was really concerned about this. Therefore, she said to Krishna, "Krishna, I have to correct you. You cannot eat mud." Krishna looked at her and said, "I did not eat mud. My boyfriends who were playing with me falsely complained to you. They have all today somehow gone against me." And Mother Yashoda then knew Krishna definitely ate earth in that age. That's what small children do who grow up in a rural environment, who grow up. I also ate earth when I was a child. You just want to taste everything and in that age. And Mother Yashoda said, then you cannot lie to your mother. I will prove that you ate earth. You open your mouth now, and then we will inspect the mouth if there is something, some remnants there. And at that time, Krishna opened his mouth, and Mother Yashoda was able to see the whole universe in Krishna's mouth. And also, she was seeing a small planet in the universe. And on that small, small, small planet, she saw a tract of land, the forests of Vrindavan. And there she saw a mother with her child. And when she looked close, it was her with baby Krishna. That mother and the child looked into the mouth of the child. She could see this, and there she could see her, the universe, and herself and Krishna. This was too much for her. She fainted. It was an overwhelming darshan, and Krishna was of course concerned. Oh, now mother is in trouble, and he immediately gave the strength to come out of her fainting smell. But his mother was not the same. Mother Yashoda said, oh no, this child is God. And only by the covering of the yoga maya potency, I'm thinking he is my child and I'm his mother and I'm the queen of Vrindavan. This is all a covering of yoga maya. Now, Krishna didn't like that his mother was freezing in great, great, great respect. And he wanted his mother to be really close and to chide him, to breastfeed him, to order him around, to just have the loving, loving son-mother relationship. That he arranged that at this moment a cat was making a sound. Meow, meow. And then he pretended to be afraid like a little child when the cat is so close and makes such a sound. And then, and started to cry. And Mother Yashoda, seeing Krishna crying like an ordinary child, not like the Lord who holds all the universes within, but like a little bewildered child who's afraid of a cat when the cat cries. Her motherly feelings rose to the surface, and she said, forget this intellectual speculation. She took Krishna and comforted him, holding him very tight, and only after some time the sobbing of Krishna subsided. But although this was such a loving scene, after this Krishna disappeared and could not be seen. Mother Yashoda, after half an hour, asked some residents of Vrindavan, did you see my restless little boy? No. An hour elapsed, still Krishna was not there. She became really worried and frantically searched the known places where Krishna would play. She asked his friends if they had seen Krishna, but they also were searching for Krishna, and he was nowhere to be found. Mother Yashoda became so upset that her mind became bewildered. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? But Krishna could nowhere be found. Then I think half a day elapsed, and Krishna was small, small Shishu, very small Shishu, they say in Braj, very small, small, small. But he was missing. All of Vrindavan's village was by now searching for Krishna. Then the rain came and a storm came, which made the atmosphere even more inauspicious. Already Krishna was missing, but now there was a natural upraising of the elements. You know, the elements were, and everyone was totally beside themselves. They were crying, they were wailing, they were calling, Krishna, Krishna, but no response. Finally, from the depths of a forest, Pulinda girl. These are tribal ladies. They don't live in the village. They live in the forest. They harvest the products of the forest, roots, for instance. They cut wood and they go and to the villages and either trade these items for milk products or like this, no? And one of these Pulinda girls, little grown up, came and said, went right to Yashoda and said, I have seen Krishna. Really? Said Yashoda. She was crying. She was not thoughtful like this. Where? Well, he's hiding in a tree. You know, the trees, sometimes you may have seen trees have, let us say, this is the tree trunk. This, that, like this. But then they have an indention. Something where it sometimes happens, and in the indention, you could also call it like a cave, no? In there is room for one person, depending on how big it is. But there are trees like this which give shelter to yogis who meditate in the forests. You know, it's like a cave inside the tree trunk. He's there and he's crying and crying and crying. I said, are you lost? And he just turned around and wouldn't speak to me. I said, should I bring you to your mother? He turned the other way and cried even more. He was not going to leave the hole in the tree, the cave in the tree. I don't know. Quickly come. So this Pulinda girl brought Krishna, brought Yashoda to this hole in the tree where Krishna was just crying. That Yashoda very carefully said, Kanai, was very concerned. Now she had found her baby boy, but now she was concerned. What is upsetting him so much that he is missing for many hours? And even in the rain and the storm, he has found now the shelter. He doesn't leave it. But normally children, when there is a weather catastrophe, they will run home to their mothers and fathers, but Krishna stays out in the jungle. Kanai! Krishna heard his mother was there. Kanai! Krishna didn't respond. He was crying more and more and more. Mother Yashoda just went to the cave and the tree just took him out, pressed him to her body. But Krishna was tense. He did not relax in the arms of his mother as it is usually done. What is wrong? Asked Yashoda. No answer. Kanai, what is wrong? Your mother is here. She can solve all problems. Krishna said, nothing, mother. And cried like anything. Kanai, tell your mother what is wrong. And then Krishna said it. He said it very slowly. You are not my mother, and I am not your son. Now Mother Yashoda started to cry. What are you saying? Of course I'm your mother. Krishna cried more. No, no, I have learned the truth. Tell me, why do you think such an untruth? Then Krishna slowly began to speak. He reported to Mother Yashoda that they were playing, and then the boys had said, you are so blank. How can such a blank boy come from such parents who are not so blank? Mother Yashoda said, oh God, you were born on a very dark night. That's why you are so blank. It is not a biological, I mean, I don't know how she said, how he or she reasoned. And when you were born, your mother gave you her milk, but also the milk of a very, very black cow. Oh, said Krishna, I didn't know these points. And Mother Yashoda began to explain in many words how no Krishna is her son. And at the end, Krishna just looked so happily in their eyes. So, you are my mother? And this Mother Yashoda cried in bliss and said, and pressed Kanai, and Krishna pressed back as if, and they would never be separated. And this way, Krishna is so dependent on his Mother Yashoda, so he has given everything to his mother. Of his independence. He is totally subordinate to the love of Mother Yashoda. And there are many such pastimes I've told you one, there are many such pastimes which tell us how deeply connected, by love, mutual love, Krishna is. I would, to Mother Yashoda, greatest devotees, the name Yashoda Nanda, Krishna prefers that name to even Nanda Nandan, the name son of Maharaj Nanda. This much he loves his mother. Totally. Mother Yashoda has total command over Krishna. Yes, Prabhupada says this. Nonetheless, although Brahma is the creator of the world, even he could not obtain such mercy as Mother Yashoda. And Prabhupada describes how she, therefore, is the highest devotee, Hare. Of course, then there's Radharani also. And, you know, that's in the parental rasa. And so on. Good. Now, I would like to ask a question. We could talk many Krishna Leelas, but I think we as devotees want to know, oh yes, there are these very loving devotees, but what is my position? How can I ever become closer to Krishna? And the rest of this lecture, I would like to spend a little on this subject. First of all, my dear devotees, I want to encourage you, please do not think that Krishna only interacts in a loving way with these they're called by Rupa Goswami Ragatmika Bhaktas, those devotees whose heart is full of the supermost raga or affection for Krishna. Please don't think Krishna may not care for you because your attachment to him is maybe still a little flickering. Sometimes, like on Janmashtamis, it's there. Sometimes you can pray from your heart to Krishna, but at other times it seems that the daily work and the challenges of the days are so overwhelming that all of our intelligence is occupied in trying to solve things, trying to develop things, and although it is for Krishna, we forget Krishna totally in the process. Is this sometimes happening to you? It does happen. Good. So you sometimes may wonder, what does Krishna think of you? Does he at all think of you? Who seem, in our estimation, we think ourselves to be very insignificant. Is he at all worried about you, or is he caring about you? This is very nicely answered in a text from the Brihadbhagavatamrita, where Gop Kumar, a devotee who has just come from this world, is greeted by Krishna. And the Supreme Lord said, "Welcome, Swagatam, welcome, my dear boy." He says it twice because he's so jubilant. "I'm fortunate," and he again says it a second time, "I'm actually most fortunate to meet you here. For so long I have been eager to see you." And he describes his heart. He says that he was waiting for Gop Kumar. He was looking down the path where usually souls come from this world into the spiritual world. And he had so much hope that he would come, that from this hope he would dance. I remember one time we have a little ashram by the lake, and sometimes we have guests. So that day we had for a whole week 6 devotees from Russia were coming with His Holiness Bhaktivigyan Goswami Maharaj. 6 people, Bhaktivigyan Goswami Maharaj, his servant, Braja Reina, not 6, 4 devotees, 4 or 5 devotees, and Bhaktivigyan Maharaj, so 6 altogether. And we were looking down the path, it's not a path, it's a street, because they were a little late. It was not easy to find us apparently, with the Russian navigator system. I remember we were looking and we became so expectant. We were really looking and we were thinking, is it this, is it that, is it this car? We knew it's a camper, but we were still inspecting the various cars. And then we saw finally the camper, a Russian camper, coming our way, and we felt very, we had kirtan and we started to dance. So Lord Krishna, the Lord is explaining here, I was dancing with hope, so much hope. And then he explained his heart. See, I could not really do something to bring you here. Because Gokumar would say, well, if you really cared for me and you saw I was conditioned and I was conditioned, so why didn't you make an arrangement, like send me a letter or with directions how to get to you or do anything? And Krishna said, the Lord said, I couldn't, because I only become active at the time when someone turns to me. I cannot come into his life when he doesn't want me, when he wants to enjoy the material world, because my principle is I give absolute freedom to the source. So I could do something when Ajamil chanted Narayan, and although he didn't mean me, he chanted my name. So that gave me a pretext. Pretext, you know the English word, what it means? It's like almost like the tiniest shadow of a reason, In German, the word would be Vorwand. It gave me a pretext to come to Ajamil. But you showed not even this much interest to chant my holy name. Not this much. So I couldn't do anything. So finally, I could not wait any longer. I made you take birth at Govardhan, and I appeared as your spiritual master, Jayanta. I came as your guru. You, my dear devotees, this is when you know you got the mercy, when Krishna sends you Vaishnavas that somehow reach your stone heart and start to melt it a little, so that you become inclined, or that your heart moves towards Krishna. Now, we need to be touched, then our heart moves towards Krishna. It's like butter, when it melts, it moves away from the plate, it goes all over. That's why when we chant kirtan, and we really chant and chant and chant and put our heart just into chanting, we do nothing else, after some time our heart melts a little and it flows like butter flows towards Krishna. But butter melts, it's a mess. When the heart melts, it's a celebration. It's a celebration. So that happens when we sing the name over and over again, and one more time, and then one more time, and again and again. And after some time, it does something to the heart. No? And then we think, oh Krishna, oh Krishna. We think like this. So, yes, so our Krishna has explained his heart. I want to help, but if there is no inclination, if I don't see any inclination, I can't break my own rules and enforce you. So when you wish to turn to Krishna or show an inclination, my dear devotees, This is something I think some of you are tired like me. And if I see more of you sleeping, I will also sleep on the floor here right before of you, in front of you, out of protest. I'm joking. do we need to turn to Krishna? What do we need to give Krishna, give Krishna the sign that I want you? And then Krishna says, okay, I got you, I understood you, now I can become active because you have unmistakably shown that you wish to come to Krishna. My dear devotees, there is a pronouncement which I will pronounce to you. A pronouncement in our Vaishnava line. It's called the Buddha Shuddhi prayers. This pronouncement you will find also in other world religions. It's a very serious pronouncement or declaration of intent which reaches Krishna's heart. And in whatever model way you find it, this has to be said. Now, I will say it to you in certain words, but you have to say it with the language of your heart. This is what the pronouncement has to contain. Thousands of years, my Lord, have passed since I have been separated from you. But now in this separation, I have lost you so entirely that I don't even long for you any longer. I long for so many other things. I cry, but my tears are not going in your direction. I cry when I'm misunderstood. I cry when a very near dear one is very ill and is in, leaving his body. I cry or I am sad when I'm divorced or any catastrophe happens. But my tears are not running in your direction. My tears are running in the direction of the world. Though this is dangerous because I have lost the most important person, the most important relationship, and I don't even care for it any longer. Now that's very bad. But now something has changed in me. I have heard about you, my Lord. I know that you are Bhagavan. I know that you are Sri Krishna. I know that you are Gopijana Vallabha. And I want to now serve you with my body, my senses, my intelligence, and all of this. I want to also try, if I can, to offer you my attachments, like house, children, friends, together with my wealth, which includes my wristwatch. I want to offer this to you, and I want actually to give you my very soul. O Krishna, O Lord of the gopis, I'm your servant, I'm yours. This is the pronouncement. If you want to have it very short, you can say it like this. My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in this material world, today I'm turning to you as your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me. My dear devotees, this mood or this pronouncement makes also your kirtan into a real kirtan. What you have to do in devotional life is practice sambandha. It means you have to understand who you are. You are not the body, not the mind. You are a part of God, part of Krishna. And you have to understand and relate to Krishna, to God. That's what kirtan is. It's not music. It's not rhythm, although music and rhythm is used and offered to the Lord. But it is basically the soul calling out to Krishna, please, my Lord, accept me. I'm your servant. No? And that makes the kirtan very sweet, very Krishna conscious, very, very, very nice. So all those who are kirtan leaders, it is very important that as the leaders of a devotional group activities, you are the leader now of the devotional group singing. No? You have to make sure you are absolutely singing from that place. Even when you are in public and you may not be able to say this because people expect this to be a yoga activity or a secular activity. They are not intending to make it into a devotional activity, but you for yourself have to be clear that you are in that space calling out for Krishna, please accept me as your servant. And then your audience will also get the special taste which will melt the heart, or let us say affect the heart, and will make the heart again inclined towards Krishna or God. No? That's very, very important. That's your duty. Otherwise, you shouldn't be leading kirtan. I mean, this sounds a little bit dramatic. I don't know. Lead kirtan in any ways, but try to come to this place. It's not difficult. It's not too much to expect of a devotee who is practicing Krishna consciousness. Yeah, this pronouncement has to be said. I do remember one disciple from another religion, from a religion, I don't want to say the religion, I can say it's a Hebraic Jewish faith in America, said to me once, we also have such a prayer. And as a child, I heard about this prayer, that I should offer myself to Krishna, including my body and my extended possessions. But I heard it when I was young. So I said, my dear Lord, I'm not yet able to say this from the heart. I'm still young. And young people, I want to go out with my friends and like this. I'm a little young, but I pray to you that soon I will be able to do this. And then this devotee said, and then I met the devotees and I read Chaitanya Charitamrita. I found this verse which I've just recited to you, and still I seem to say to Krishna, my Lord, I know this is what I should do, but I'm not yet ready, my Lord. I just can't say it. I could say it, but I don't mean it. And I'm not the person who says something which he doesn't mean, so I cannot yet say it. But please, after some time, I want to say it. So I think many of us are in this after some time category, but please know, when you surrendered your life to Krishna, my dear devotees, worries are over because Krishna takes care of you. So we have to work towards that, no? A little bit more chanting, a little bit more melting, and then the heart will flow in that direction. But let us understand, our whole idea in bhakti is that one day we can say, my Lord, I'm yours, I'm yours, I'm yours, I'm yours alone. Everything I have is for you also. As a preacher, my dear devotees, and I will end here, I see the following, that most, let me see, I don't want to be now very personal, but if I would be very personally, I will not look at everyone with laser eyes. I would go in your brain, go through your neural pathways, analyze them with my mystic potencies. No, I'm joking. I would try to download you. That everyone can do who is a preacher. He can understand the person by looking. He can understand something about the person by looking at them. But I don't want to do it. I want to remember. I have seen as a preacher many times newcomers who say, wow, it's absolutely clear to me. Have you seen this, newcomers? They had a breakthrough experience in Kirtan, for instance. Everything has fallen away, and they are now giving their house away, their property, their everything away to family or relatives. And then they enter the movement for Krishna consciousness. Still totally under the impression of the initial clarity which they had. I remember in Heidelberg one such boy, he was a student. He was almost finished with his studies. Actually in Heidelberg, I remember many students. And I would sometimes say, only one more month, then you have your master degree or whatever. No, Maharaj, it's illusion. I don't want to, no. Come on, our older devotees are going back to the university. Just listen to an old man, you know. No, Maharaj, we are not your disciples, nor do we intend to become your disciples, but we thank you very much. You are too hard on us when you preach. I said, please, I beg you. No. You, it's in your books. Surrender, Maya and all that, no? So there was this one boy who had a collection of every single record which the Rolling Stones had brought out. I understand what he felt, because I used to be that type of person also, very, very, very dedicated to one particular music style. And he sold everything on the flea market for a minimal price. Yes, this is dramatic, I agree. Everything was gone. The very first recordings, extremely rare to obtain. The rare live recordings, extremely rare to obtain. All the collector's items, everything. I don't need. Now I have really, but I don't need all this any longer. Then after half a year, he looked at me with that glance. I said, what happened to you? Just tell me. He said, I went back to the market and tried to buy back as much as possible of these rare items. In the beginning, my dear devotees, when we have that breakthrough experiences which Krishna grants a soul who comes from the tremendous dark ignorance, we have that determination. Yes, I've seen many, many times. I am one of these grassroots preachers, and I still consider myself one who sees the transformation, and there's nothing better when the person says to me, Maharaj, yes, I said, tell me, Maharaj, I'm now absolutely convinced that the philosophy is true, that Krishna is true, that Prabhupada can bring me back to Godhead. I'm absolutely convinced I can do now anything. Wow, this is a goosebumps get up there, because that's what the preacher needs to hear, you know, that someone is ready to enter the process of devotional service with faith. And but we know you may try to get rid of the world, but like chewing gum, the world sticks to you and it comes back after some time. So this pronouncement which you have heard today, my dear Lord Krishna, I have turned away from you since so much long time, years. Now please accept me as your servant. That should be said again and again. For those who are not afraid of this verse, I will give you now the reference of this verse. It's the only reference which I know by heart. I know many verses, but I forget numbers. Listen now, this is your chance. But be careful, you can look at it from the distance first. It can be found in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 22, verse 33. I repeat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 22, verse 33. Got it? Good. Just look from the distance, you know, like. later. And then, but if you read about this more, and especially I want to say, if you chant while you are doing kirtan, longer kirtans, you know this, which we do this evening, tomorrow evening, if you look at it before and you mix your kirtan with this understanding, you will see something happen. You will see, all of a sudden, you are through. I will look now. Okay, we are finished here. I want to end here. So we hear about Mother Yashoda and her relationship with Krishna. And then we went into what, as conditioned souls, can we do to come close to Krishna? And I wanted to answer this question by first giving you courage that Krishna is indeed very anxious that you return. More anxious than we are, no? So don't think the Lord will be silent when you call out to him or turn to him. And then I wanted to use the rest of the time of the lecture to say the pronouncement, what is necessary to do. It's not just a matter of saying, it's a matter of living this verse, no? And then I gave you a longer version of the verse. A slightly shorter version is the Buddha Shuti prayers, you know, which is there, and this is the shortest version in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Dobro. Good. I'm looking at Govinda and my Croatian comes back. I thank you very much. I don't know, I went a little over time. So if you, and today is an extremely active day, I will close the lecture here. If you have any question, do note it down, and tomorrow, His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj lectures, but then on Thursday morning I will lecture. You can then ask the question. I thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful, blessed day in Krishna consciousness here in Radhadesh. May Radha Gopinath bless you. May Srila Prabhupada bless you. And have a wonderful pilgrimage if you are a pilgrim like myself. And see you latest in the evening for the Krishna Katha. It will be the second part of Krishna's appearance in this world. And then we will continue to sing. Also Madhava will take over afterwards, and we will sing very nicely as we did yesterday. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.